You are listening to another Screenfish one-on-one live at TIFF 2017. In this episode, we are so excited to talk to legendary writer-director Paul Schrader. Paul is the writer of such films as The Last Temptation of Christ and Taxi Driver, and the director of Affliction. Well, Paul is back with his new film, First Reformed. We're excited to talk to him about spirituality in film and places where the church has lost its way. Welcome to the conversation. Welcome to Screenfish.
Thanks so much. I know that you're a busy guy and you've got a lot of different junkets to do today, so I really appreciate you sitting down with me. Paul, it's really, really great to talk. First Reform is a great film. It's a really great film. And I really thought that it was bold, but also honest and very challenging. I thought there was a lot of good in the script. And I was wondering, where did the story come from?
I was raised in the church, product of Christian school system. And we didn't see movies. They were not allowed. So I got sort of interested in movies at the college level, and I got interested in the serious movies of European cinema of the 60s, Bergman, Bresson, and René. And that's sort of how I got interested, and I wrote a book about spirituality in cinema at that time because I was a film critic.
That was Transcendence in Film.
Right? Yeah. And then I drifted into the commercial cinema and got obsessed with the attractions of action and empathy and psychological realism and sexuality, and made movies in that vein and did the devil's work for many decades. And then a few years ago, I never thought I would make a spiritual film. I just never did. People asked me about it. I said, no, I'm not. I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to try to dance on that thin Bresonian water. But then 2.5 years ago, I was giving an award to Pavel Pavlovsky on Ida and talking to him. And I left that. I said, you know, I left that dinner and walked home and said, you know, it's time. You know, because Pavel was saying that the economics now, you can afford to do these kind of films. In the past, I couldn't afford to do it. It wouldn't be cost-effective to make this kind of film in America. You could do it in Europe with a subsidy. But we have no subsidies in the U.S., so there's no way to do it. And I thought, I know it's time. It's time to turn your hand to write a spiritual film. And once I made that decision, then the particulars of the film started coming into mind. And I drew upon, you know, the films in the genre that I had known and loved, and then sort of glued them together with the glue of Taxi Driver.
That's quite a glue. It's interesting you brought up writing the book, because of course Transcendence in Film just celebrated its anniversary. I think there was a re-release.
No, they're going to be.
Or it's going to be a re-release.
Yeah, it's going to be out in March.
Okay.
And I've updated it.
Okay.
UCal Press will be publishing it in March.
Okay. It's focused on a very specific genre. But is there a sense of transcendence to film itself that you look for, or is that too specific?
When you talk about spirituality in film, mm-hmm. which is different than religion,
yes,
you're talking about withholding devices. You're talking about devices that come from the field of contemplation and meditation. Mm. You know, there is no fast way to meditate.
Yeah. Well, you can. It's not done well.
So that when you start pulling away from the viewer, withholding certain things that they expect, cutting patterns, music, all of this stuff. Then you're inviting them to lean forward. So a normal movie is all over you. It's desperate for your attention. Mm. It has its hands all over your body, on your throat. It's saying, love me, do this. Here's some music. You love this music. Here's some cool shots. Here's a pretty girl. Here's a fast car. Here's an explosion. Love me. Mm. And it's kind of exhausting, and you don't have to do a thing.
Yeah.
Now you get the opposite kind of film, a withholding film, and it's leaning away from you. And it's saying, I know you think you're going to see this, but you're not. I know you think that when a character walks off screen, you're going to see where they go. Well, maybe you're not. Maybe we're going to just watch the empty room for a while.
Yeah, which you do in this film. Yeah. There are a couple of shots that I'm watching. I'm like, wait a minute. Even though it was briefly, there's still this moment of pause. It's like there's no one on screen right now.
Yeah. And when nothing is happening, something is happening because the viewer is watching.
Yes.
And something is happening inside the viewer. So if you use a classic withholding device like the delayed cut, Bresson pioneered it. Somebody walks out a door. The door closes. Bresson will go, 1, 2, 3, cut. Now your eye never does that. Mm. Someone walks outside a door, you don't stand there and watch the door. Mm. You go to something else.
Right.
But you're in a movie theater and the guy says, okay, let's watch the door for a few seconds before we do something else. Well, what's going on in your head?
Yeah.
And so that is how you start playing that passive-aggressive game, getting them to lean forward. And the dance, the dangerous line you dance on is when you start using these withholding devices. The viewer can do one of two things. He can start to lean in toward you, in which case you've got your goal. Or he can get up and leave the theater. Mm. And if you look at the way First Reform opened, it's almost saying to you, if you're not ready for this, would you please leave right now?
Yeah.
If it's going to be too slow for you, just leave now and let the rest of us stay.
Well, let's talk about First Reformed, and it's this fascinating dance between Toller and his church trying to find a place. It feels like, and he almost seems like now he has physical ailments, of course, in the film, but he almost seems like a man out of time.
And it's not sure to what degree these physical ailments are being caused by our psychosomatic either.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. That's right. But at the same time, there seems to be a genuineness to him that is different than Jeffries, than the mega church. I was wondering, what is it about Toller that you wanted to explore the most?
Well, he has a sickness. Mm. And it's a sickness that, Wittgenstein called the sickness unto death. Mm. Or in German, Angst, despair. Mm. And he tells that kid, the problem isn't your baby, the problem is you, the problem is your despair. Well, he's talking about himself.
Yeah.
And so he has this sickness unto death. He can't communicate with God. He's trying various things. Tries writing a journal. Tries the rituals of the church. Tries alcohol. And tries prayer. And then he sort of picks up this virus. Mm. And the virus, and it's a nasty virus. Mm. He got it from a kid who committed suicide.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden he has a cause. Whether or not he is actually an eco-warrior, I'm not sure. Maybe he's just a diseased man who is looking for a cause.
Yeah. Well, and actually that's a great question too, because I did not expect the subtext of an environmental theme in this film, and it was beautiful. It was beautifully done. And it made me wonder, You know, this particular First Reformed Church, and of course, I can't remember the name of it, but the mega church,
Abundant Life.
Abundant Life. That's right, Abundant Life. There seems to be sort of missing out on something until Michael awakens that in Toller's character. I was wondering, do you feel like the church at large is missing out on some of these things, or?
Well, of course they are. You know, there's a quote from John Lennon that said, "I don't like God much once they get him under a roof." Mm. And, you know, that's the difference between spirituality and religion in the church. Mm. So the moment you have a building and a membership and dues and uniforms and hierarchy and organization, you are then a kind of corporate structure. Mm. And you have a budget, and you have real estate, and you have taxes. How do you combine the message of the gospel, the message of Jesus, with the obligations of running a corporation?
Yeah.
And that's always been a difficulty. And so you have a big corporation like this, you have a sponsor who's a polluter, sometimes you have to live in the real world. Jeffrey says you don't live in the real world.
Yeah.
you're a pastor in a tourist church no one attends.
Yeah. 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 Well, it is a wonderful film. Paul, thank you so much for speaking with us. I really appreciate it.